Join me in the gathering prayer. Holy One, you meet us in every place we wander, in our searching, our questioning, our longing to understand. You breathe your Spirit into us again this morning, reminding us that we are never alone. Open our hearts to the Advocate who comforts and challenges, to the Christ who loves and leads, to the Creator who holds all things together. Root us in your commandments of love, that our living may bear witness to the hope that is within us. Gather us in, shape us anew, and send us out as people of resurrection. Amen. Reading today from Acts 17, verses 22 through 31. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, to an unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the time of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Here ends our reading.
So sometimes our scripture needs a little deciphering. Sometimes our scripture needs a little talk back. Sometimes our scripture just needs another voice. So this morning, we're going to have two voices do the second reading, which is from the Gospel according to John. It is the 14th chapter, verses 15 through 21. So let us listen to the word of God. If you love me, you will keep my commandments.
Even if you love me, you will break my commandments.
And I will ask the Father, who will give you another advocate, to be with you forever.
And I will ask you to advocate for someone who needs it desperately.
This is the Spirit of truth, whom the Word cannot receive, because it neither sees it nor knows it. You know it because it abides with you, and it will be in you.
It's not complicated. Skip the X-ray. Skip the CAT scan. Look in the mirror.
I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you.
When I come to you, you will fill your life with orphans.
In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live.
If you are missing God, wear the old jeans. Mess up your hair, check your pulse.
On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you.
It's not rocket science, it's knitting.
They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by God. And I will love them and reveal myself to them.
Start with the love, not with the rules.
So this morning, if some of you may not know, the UCC always has a subtext for the day. And today's subtext is actually Rural Life Sunday. And I think that the gospel reading fits really, really well with Rural Life Sunday. There is within the UCC lots of little groups that get together and do. We are not part of any particular group. We're not open and affirming. We're not a wise church. But another place that we would fit in would be the STAR churches, S-T-A-R, small town and rural. And that is by our own definition of what small town and rural is. So let's see what the scripture has to say for us today. Because I think that there are two kinds of love. There's a kind of love that mostly stays in words. That's the Hallmark Channel and the Hallmark cards. And when society tells us that we have to show up and say that we love somebody. No offense to any of the moms in this room, but I used to tell my kids I don't care about Mother's Day because I want you to do something good for me every day. I don't want to wait for Hallmark to make a lot of money off of you buying me roses and a card and a box of Russell Stover chocolates. Go do the dishes without me telling you. Right? So there's the Hallmarky kind of love. And then there's the kind of love that gets dirt underneath your fingernails. It's the love that gets down to business. It's about showing up and showing God's love. Jesus, in this morning's gospel reading, according to John, is speaking to the disciples who are anxious. These are a bunch of people that have been following Jesus for 3 years, and now he's talking about heading for the cross to die. And they are anxious. They are uncertain about what's going to come next. They are fearful. And he knows what's coming, and he's trying to tell them They're not always getting it. Unfortunately, the disciples are not always the sharpest people. He knows that the world that they are going to be stepping into will not be easy. So he tells them something that is both profoundly simple and profoundly demanding. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Now, this is not cajoling, coaxing, or wheedling love. If you love me, you'll go do the dishes. If you love me, you'll take me out to dinner tonight. It's not that kind of love. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And just the chapter before, in the 13th chapter, John, Jesus tells his disciples very plainly what the commandment is. He's asked, what is the greatest commandment? And he goes, you know what those are. You love God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind, and that you love your neighbor as yourself. Profoundly simple and profoundly demanding. Love one another. Not admire one another. Not tolerate one another from a distance. Not post about one another on all of your social media feeds. Love one another. In the Gospel according to John, he circles around love over and over again because John understands something essential. Love is not a decoration for our life. Love is the evidence of a life well lived. So here in the church, we sometimes speak about faith. And we talk about our faith and we talk about our beliefs. And certainly belief matters. Faith matters. And faith without works is nothing. We hear that later on in James. John keeps bringing us back to action, back to embodiment, back to how we actually treat one another in the ordinary places in our life, every single day behavior. Love should always be visible. And maybe we understand this a bit more than some living in a small town. I won't say that we're rural. I know some other people think that we're rural, but I don't. I think we're just small town. Rural would have more cow pastures. That's where I grew up, more farmland. So in small towns, people notice things. They notice them in rural places too. Sometimes more than we really want to notice. They know whose truck is in whose driveway. They know who hasn't been to church in a couple of weeks. They know when the crops are struggling and who the farmers are that are going to be most impacted. They know when someone has lost a beloved. And they know when you get your hair cut and when you go to the grocery store. And I can attest to this week, they even know when you stay at the church way too late, because I had three of you call me on Thursday. Why were you here until 8 o'clock? They pay attention. In rural life, in small town life, survival, though, often depends on the neighbors noticing what's going on. Because when we notice, we show up. So I say about small town living, you don't ever want anybody to know your business, but everybody knows your business and they pretend that they don't know your business until they have to know your business because they show up. It's the love that brings the casseroles when there's a death. It's the love that makes the cherry chicken salad sandwiches for the funeral. It's the love that plows the driveway. It's the love that quietly slips a gift card or some cash into a mailbox for somebody that's struggling. It's the love that it's the love that you use to help your neighbor who then reciprocates it when you have to stack cordwood for the winter. That's love. Love that sits in the silence at a kitchen table when words are just too small to use. That kind of love rarely trends online. It does not usually make the headlines at all. We're lucky if it makes like page 10 in the local newspaper. but it looks an awful lot like the kingdom of God. Jesus goes on to say, I will not leave you orphaned. I think that's a fantastic statement. Beyond, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I will not leave you orphaned. And I think that's really important, especially for some of us that have felt stranded more than once in our lives. And there are many, many ways in which people feel orphaned today. People feel abandoned by institutions, abandoned by the politics of the day, abandoned by churches that forget about compassion, abandoned by economics that hollow out the small towns, the economics that hollow out the family farms and the small businesses, abandoned by a culture that often values speed over presence and outrage over kindness. And into all of that, Jesus says, you are not alone. He tells us of the advocate that will come, the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, dwelling among the people. Jesus is foretelling the Pentecost before his death. We'll get to Pentecost in 2 weeks. It's the love of God that becomes real through presence, through community, through people who continue Christ's work out into the world, which means that the church is meant to become proof that no one is abandoned. It's not perfect proof. We fail often, but it's real proof nonetheless that we show up and let people know they are not abandoned. The kind of proof that says, when you're sick, somebody's going to call on you. When you're grieving, someone's going to come and sit with you. When your crops fail, your community will remember. When your child struggles, somebody says, I can help. And when you doubt God, someone keeps believing beside you until you can believe again. Love becomes flesh again and again through us, through ordinary people, you and me. And perhaps that means a lot right now. We live in a time when cruelty often sounds sophisticated, when contempt gets more attention than compassion, when people are trained to sort each other into categories before learning one another's names. There is a person in Bear Lake that every time I see them, the first thing he says to me is, oh, you're the liberal pastor from Benzonia. And my reply to him is, hi, my name is Patty. I prefer that one. Thank you. Still, he won't remember it, but that's okay. But that's one example of how we put people into groups before we know who they are. And even here in rural communities, in small towns, we pride ourselves on helping neighbors. And that help can sometimes cause deep divides. Not so much the help, but we find ourselves in those deep divides. There's political divides. There are cultural divides. There are generational divides. And sometimes we here in the church ourselves become places where suspicions grow far more easily than we give grace. But Jesus does not say, love only those who vote like you. Love only those that agree with you. Love only those that make your life easier. Jesus simply says, love. Full sentence, full stop. Love is not passive niceness. It is courageous commitment to another person's dignity. Sometimes love means listening instead of winning. Sometimes love means telling the truth gently, or maybe not so gently. Sometimes love means standing beside vulnerable people when others walk away. Sometimes love means refusing to let fear have the loudest voice. The love that Jesus commands is not sentimental. It is resilient. There is an old rural wisdom understood in this. Farmers know you cannot live only by yourself. Communities know that storms eventually come for everybody. There is humility in knowing that in one season you are the one bringing help, and in another season you are the one that is needing the help. That is church. That is that we all belong to one another. The Gospel according to John reminds us that love is how Christ remains visible after the resurrection. The risen Christ is not only encountered in the miracles, it's not only on mountaintops, it's not only at the lakeshore with breakfast. Christ is encountered in communities that keep choosing love. When we keep choosing love, when bitterness would be so much easier. And that love matters more than we know. There's an old story about a small county church that lost its power during a winter storm. Sound familiar? It's not about us, but the roads were icy, temperatures dropped dangerously low, the church building itself was cold and dark. Worship had been canceled. But before long, members of the church began calling one another, checking on their neighbors, opening homes that had generators, saying, hey, you can come on over here and use our electricity, stay warm. It's sharing the firewood. It's delivering the soup. It's making sure that nobody sits alone in the cold and in the dark. No sermon was preached that day. There was no sermon in the sanctuary. But boy, did church happen. And yet, perhaps the gospel was proclaimed more clearly than ever, because love showed up. And that's what Jesus is asking of the disciples in this morning's reading. Not grand gestures for the history books, but daily faithfulness, daily compassion, daily reminders that the resurrection people do not abandon one another. In a lonely world, love becomes holy resistance. In an angry world, love becomes prophetic. In a divided world, love becomes testimony. In rural communities and small towns especially, where distances can be far and in between, where winters can be a little harsh, thinking of this last one, but people still depend on neighbors more than they sometimes want to admit. And the church has the opportunity to embody something desperately needed. To embody something desperately needed, not perfection, not ideological or theological purity, not polished performance. Just Jesus-like love. The kind that cooks, the kind that repairs, the kind that forgives, the kind that stays. The kind of love that remembers people's names, the kind of love that notices absences, the kind that says, you belong here. Jesus says, and they will know. Not because we are louder, not because we win arguments, not because we hold any fantastic power. They will know because of our love. They will know because of our love, because it all starts with love. And perhaps these days, that's what matters the most. Thanks be to God. I invite you, as you are able in body or spirit,